Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information, go to darusha.ca/weapons. Episode 14, Chapter 27. The two men walked into Le Retro and found a table near the back. Dex ordered a pitcher of the local real ale and Max lifted his eyebrows. "Pricey stuff," he said, and Dex grinned. "Sure," he agreed, "but it's an occasion. Why not splurge a little, right?" The server arrived with the dark brew and a couple of frosty glasses. Dex poured, and they were both silent for a moment as they enjoyed the first taste. "Strong stuff," Max said. "I haven't had anything like this in a long time. I try to stick to the cheap booze these days," he said with a disarming grin. "Why change the habit of a lifetime?" Dex asked. "Why indeed," Max said, his face growing thoughtful. "So, do you think the ladies will be able to make the upgrade in time?" "If I know Annabelle," Dex said, "she'll find a way to make it work, come hell or high water. And Andrea seems to be cut from the same cloth." Max nodded his agreement with Dex's assessment of his daughter. "If anyone can pull it off," Dex continued, "I think it's the two of them." "We sure did manage to hook up with some impressive women," Max said. "I sometimes wonder why Andrea still puts up with me. I haven't been necessary for years, and I can tell I'm more trouble than I'm worth a lot of the time." "She loves you," Dex said. "You're her dad. I doubt she thinks of you as a burden." "One lives in hope," Max said, laughing, as he raised his glass to Dex in a silent salute. He was grinning, and Dex could see the shadow of Max's young self in his friend's lined face. He found himself smiling back when he saw a familiar figure over Max's shoulder. Max frowned as he noticed Dex's face change. "What?" Max asked. "Is something wrong?" "No," Dex said, lifting an arm to draw attention to himself. "Nothing's wrong. In fact, the timing couldn't be better." Rene Biagini introduced himself to Max, and Dex had to laugh as his old friend was treated to Biagini's incorrigible flirtation. True to form, though, Max took Biagini's trifling with aplomb, and managed to give nearly as good as he got. "Where did you find this young man?" Biagini asked Dex campily, his eyebrows arched almost as much as his voice. "And what are your plans for him?" Dex chuckled. "Rene, not everyone is a hound dog like you are." "More's the pity," Max said, smirking at Biagini, who made a mock, outraged face. "Max is my oldest friend, Rene," Dex explained. "He's heading back across the pond tomorrow, and we're trying to have a little send-off." "Of course," Rene said. "Well, then, I'll leave you to it," he smiled good-naturedly at them both, then made to stand up. "No, wait," Dex said. "I've got something to talk to you about." "Can't it wait?" Rene said, glancing at Max. "I mean, don't you have better things to do than talk shop with me?" "Rene is Captain Zhang's counterpart here," Dex explained to Max. "I see," Max said to Dex, then turned to Biagini. "Actually, Rene, it can't wait. Why don't you get a drink?" He pulled up the table menu and rotated it to face Biagini. Rene looked between Dex and Max, then shrugged flamboyantly and poked at the menu with a studied movement. "So, gentlemen," Biagini said, settling back into his chair, "where's the fire?" Dex and Max spent the next hour filling Biagini in on the cause of the M-City vandalism and what they planned to do about it. "I'm going to meet with Zahara Zhang when I get home," Max said. "We're hoping that she can coordinate with the other captains in America," he looked at Biagini pointedly. "And you were hoping I'd do the same over here," he guessed, a smile spreading on his face. "I know you've been looking for an excuse to get a little continental travel in," Dex said, grinning. "This is the perfect thing." Biagini nodded. "It is, isn't it?" he said. "When can you get me copies of the upgrade?" "Tomorrow," Dex said. "It needs to be ready for Max to take back with him, and his flight leaves tomorrow night." We only have a handful of upgrade rods, Max said, so you'll probably have to collect them once they've been used and pass them around again. Or if you happen to see any lying around, Dex added, you could copy the package. Biagini frowned. Distribution is going to be difficult, I think. Dex nodded. It's going to be a slow process. Nothing we can do about that, Max said. And better that it's slow rather than not at all. Biagini nodded, all the lightheartedness gone from his manner. He seemed to sip his third synth wine almost without tasting it, as he pondered the ramifications of the scheme he was becoming a part of. You are correct, he said, nodding earnestly, and I will see what I can do about finding some more upgrade rods. We want the single package, write once type, Dex said. It's going to be tough enough to convince people that this package is legit. The last thing we need is someone adding their own little goodies somewhere along the way. Max made a little thoughtful noise, and the two men looked his way. How are we going to convince people to shoot up with our no-name upgrade package? He asked. I've done some nutty things in my time, but I don't think that even at my worst I'd have upgraded with a generic rod some dude handed me in a back alley. That's why we need people like Renee and Zizou, Dex said. It's not just for distribution, but for credibility. The organization operates just barely off the radar of the firms, but everyone knows about us. I'm hoping that through the street teams we'll be able to pass on the package with enough credibility to get it installed and in the hands of other people with equally good reputations among their communities. Yeesh, Max said. That's a tall fucking order. Dex shook his head once and smiled. No one said it would be easy. After Renee left, Max ordered another pitcher of the ale and a couple of food bars. As he unwrapped one, he waved it in Dex's direction. Need to keep our strength up, he said, grinning. I don't know how you're going to fly tomorrow. Dex checked the time on his display. Make that in a few hours. Max grinned. That's for future me to worry about, he said. As for now, I'm just happy to be here. He looked at Dex and held the other man's eyes for a long time. Dex sighed. Oh, Max, he said. This has all been so strange. For me, too, Max said softly. It's been weird enough being here with Andrea. She has her own life now, and I don't really fit in anymore. I knew all that in my head, of course, but it's another thing entirely to see it right in front of your face every day for 2 weeks. And then to see you? God, I wasn't prepared for that. He ran his hands through his hair, messing it up even more than it already had been. You seem to be handling everything just fine, Dex said. You always did. It's like nothing ever gets to you. Max laughed, a short clipped sound that contained little mirth. Oh, Andy, he said, you really have no idea. When I left the apartment that night, the last night I saw you... His voice trailed off, and Dex nodded for him to continue. I think I knew it even then that I was making a terrible mistake. But I was so sure that I needed to grow up, to move on. I thought I could just make it work. But all night, the whole time we were hanging out, drinking, listening to music, all I wanted to do was grab hold of you, hang on, and never let go. Dex felt his throat constricting and a burning sensation in his sinuses. He blinked his eyes a few times and let their wetness blur his vision. Then when I came back, Max continued, looking down at his half-empty beer glass, and you were gone. Fuck, I nearly lost it. I had this image of you as a sort of an anchor that would always be there, like you were a symbol of my life. And when I couldn't find you, man, I was so lost. That's how I ended up with Elena. She was there. She was solid. She was something to hang on to, you know? She was just a replacement for you, really. And the terrible part is I think she knew it. Max, Dex began, his voice hoarse. No, Max said, looking up at him and smiling. You don't have to say anything. After the way it all turned out, I couldn't ask for things to have been different. I loved Elena in my way, and Andrea's the best thing I've ever been a part of. None of that ever would have happened if I'd stayed with you, and so I can't be sorry for the choices I've made. He took a sip of his beer and looked at Dex. I guess I'm just saying... He broke off and looked away. I just wanted you to know that I missed you. He looked up at Dex. All these years I've missed you. You're my best friend, Andy. You always were and you always will be. Those missing decades don't change it. I'm just glad that I didn't fuck up your life as badly as I tried to fuck up mine. He smiled sadly at Dex, who wasn't bothering to hold back the tears anymore. Oh, Max, he said, wondering if he should tell him about the years he'd spent brooding over their lost friendship. Wondering if he should tell him about the feeling that followed him for years that a part of him was missing. wondering if it would make things worse for Max to know that even now, Dex periodically lost himself in memories of their life together. Finally, he just said, "I've missed you too. More than you can imagine." He smiled and wiped the wetness from his cheeks. He picked up his beer glass. "Here's to happy coincidences," he said, and the two men clicked their glasses. "Here's to old friendships found again," Max said. "Let's try not to let 30 years pass us by this time, okay?" "Hey, I know where your kid lives," Dex said, grinning. "You can't get away from me that easily anymore." They grinned foolishly at each other and drank, talked and laughed until long after the sun came up. Chapter 28 Dex had his feet up on the seat across from him and stared out the window at the countryside rushing past. The train had already passed through a dozen villages, all with their short buildings and single intercity train stops. He couldn't imagine living in a town as small as these little hamlets. He still found Nice, with its vibrant street life and almost complete lack of broken-down neighborhoods, to be unbelievable after living in an American city for 60-odd years. But these small towns seemed to be throwbacks to a previous era. He knew that each village had one or two firms operating there, and that nearly everyone worked for those companies. He knew that the sense of choice that a city offered was more an illusion than a reality, but he still couldn't imagine the life of someone in one of these small towns. He noticed, though, that each village was more like the neighborhoods in Nice than smaller versions of his hometown. There were people out in the street in each little community, talking to each other, sipping coffee at alfresco eateries. He'd never thought about the difference an ocean of space and time could make, and wondered how different things were for people in Africa or Oceania. Realizing how much he'd taken for granted, how much he didn't know about the world, made his head hurt. Dex closed his eyes and put those thoughts out of his mind. This was his second straight week of traveling, and he was tired of it. Tired of the cramped and unfamiliar guest rooms, tired of meeting contacts in back rooms of stuffy and rundown taverns, tired of explaining why he was there, what was going on in Am City, why the upgrade rods were needed. He had dozed off in his seat when his system woke him with a ping. His eyes popped open and he had a moment of panic until he remembered that he was on another train. At least this time he was heading west, getting closer to home. The sound in his inner ears didn't exactly get louder, just more insistent, and Dex paged over to the program which activated the encrypted communications package Annabelle and Andrea had created. He entered his token and answered the call. "Andy," Max's voice boomed from across the encrypted distance. "Where are you today, my friend?" "Fucked if I know," Dex answered sourly, then checked himself. "I left Petersburg this morning. That was 3 stops and..." He let his eyes stray to the lower right corner of his overlay and checked the time. 5 hours ago. "So I must be getting close to Frankfurt by now. This is the slow train, I guess." "Well, you get what you pay for," Max said, and Dex chuckled without mirth. "I'm lucky I could afford even this," Dex said. "All this traveling costs a fortune, and it's not like I have a paying client to expense it to." "Well then, you're going to be happy to hear this," Max said. "I've been talking to the folks in the neighborhood, the bar owners and other businesses, and they've been pretty interested in this project. Some of the people don't care, of course, since there are plenty of them who don't bother with M-City at all, but the ones who do have been really positive." "That's great, Max," Dex said wearily, "but how does their zest to participate translate into paying my way for jaunting across Europa with a bag of upgrade rods?" "Oh, you always were low on faith," Max said, laughing. "One of my neighbors runs a dance hall in the Zubers block in M-City, and she suggested we take up a collection from everyone we pass the upgrade on to. Not a fee, more like a suggested donation." "Interesting," Dex said. "I mean, I don't think we can charge for this. The more people and places that have access to the encryption and communication software, the better and more stable we make all of the Everywhere Net." "I know," Max said. "That's why it's not a fee. It's just an option for people to drop a euro or two into this account we set up. The soft sell, you know? Anyway, it's been paying off already." "Really?" Dex said. "You got 100 or 200 from the neighborhood?" "Not quite," Max admitted. "More like 1,000. Dex could hear his friend grinning. "You've got to be shitting me," Dex said, the ennui finally draining from his body. "That's unbelievable." "Enough people think it's worth it to help fund the mission."
"The mission?"
"Yeah, that's what they're calling it on the street, what we're doing," Max said. "A bunch of the bars and shops down here are advertising that they're agents of the mission. Someone even did up a logo. It looks like an ad for a band or something, if you don't know what it is. But the word is getting out, and we're still shooting up more people every day than we did the day before." "That's amazing," Dex said. "I've put together a file of the posters and a link to the secure account," Max said. "I'll send it to you, and you can pass it on to the contacts you've already upgraded in Europa." Great idea, Dex said. If we get even half the rate of return in donations that you have, I'll be able to pay for this whole trip easily. Maybe even hit some of the smaller centers I've had to skip this time. And we can reimburse Renee for his trip, too, Max said. Between the two of you, we got all the major cities, right? Yeah, Dex said. It's been tough, though. I'm sure, Max said. When do you think you'll get back to Nice? A few days still, Dex said, and it's not a moment too soon. It drives me crazy paying for an apartment I'm not using, not to mention I miss my bed. Max laughed. I'm sure that's not all you miss, eh? Dex flushed, but ignored the embarrassment. No, that's not all, he admitted. But it's at times like these I realize how much I need EverywhereNet and M-City to still be there, still be free. I don't think I could have managed this trip without getting to see Annabelle every other day. She's one in a million, man, Max said. You're lucky. Don't I know it, Dex said, smiling. Don't I know it. The train glided to a soundless stop on the main platform in Frankfurt just after noon local time. Dex stepped off with his small bag and took a breath of the sour city air. It reminded him of his old neighborhood back in America, and he was surprised not to feel even a pang of nostalgia. He hoofed it to the nearest intra-city train stop for the Star District. His contact, a woman he knew as Magda, was expecting him at a small restaurant there. He had only a half hour to get there, or she would leave. The train arrived quickly enough, and Dex managed to jam into the car with about a million other tired, sweaty passengers. He kept most of his focus on his physical surroundings, with only a map on his overlay to try and get his bearings. He squeezed out at his stop with 10 minutes to spare, and tried to cool off on the short walk to the bistro. A physical bell dinged as he opened the door, and he waited while his eyes adjusted to the gloom. He saw a row of several tables along the wall and walked toward the back of the restaurant. There were no other customers except a woman staring off into the distance as if she were online. She caught Dex's eye, however, and he slipped into a chair at her table. "I've heard the synthwine is terrible here," he said, uttering the code phrase they'd previously agreed on and feeling ridiculous. "It is," the woman agreed, "and the glasses are too small." Dex nodded and reached into his bag. He pulled out a small sack with about 2 dozen upgrade rods. "You know how to use these?" he asked. Magda nodded and hefted the bag in one hand. "These are the read-only write-once types, so they can't be modified. Try to get people to pass them on or at least return them. We're running low on supplies." "Understood," Magda said, pocketing the bag of rods. "You want a bite to eat or something to drink?" she asked. "The pies are very good, and the beer is better than the wine." She smiled, and Dex couldn't help but laugh. "I'm a food brick man," Dex said, "but a small beer would be nice." Magda slipped out of her chair and went through a door recessed into the back wall. She came back with 2 glasses full of foamy amber liquid. She handed one to Dex, then clicked her glass with his. "This is thirsty work," she said, and took a sip. "I appreciate what you and your friends are doing here. I'll get these rods passed around." "Thanks," Dex said. "It's no magic bullet, though. Don't forget that the firms own EverywhereNet, and if they want to fuck with it, they will. There's nothing in here that can stop them vandalizing someone's res. Let your contacts know they have to try to back up as much as they can, as often as they can." Magda nodded sharply, and Dex felt a weight in his head. He unfocused briefly to see Max's download appear in his inbox. "When you get yourself fixed up, ping me," he said. "I've got some materials which might help with distribution." "Oh well," Magda said. "So, where are you headed to next?" "It's better if I don't say," Dex said apologetically. "At the moment, we don't know what's compromised and what's safe, so we're playing all our cards close to our chest." Magda nodded. "Understood," she said. "I do have one question I'd really like an answer to, though." "Sure," Dex said, only a little nervously. "How did you find me?" "Ah," Dex said. "That's easy to answer, at least. You work for Stella Bish." Magda's eyes opened wide. "Don't worry," Dex said. "I don't know your real name. No one does except for, I assume, Ms. Bish. I understand that she operates a secure communication network with some of her people who do more delicate work. Her contacts in Europa have been working together to try to get me a meeting with as many of her freelancers as possible." "Why didn't Bish just contact me directly?" Magda asked. "Why all the cloak and dagger with the anonymous paper message left at the bar?" Dex laughed. "I wondered how they were contacting you all. I assume the message included the information we have proving that a group within the EverywhereNet consortium is targeting M-City businesses?" "Of course," Magda said. "I wouldn't be here otherwise." "Well, the paper messages are to make sure that the work we're doing here is both untraceable and offline." "Well," Magda said, It worked, and I'm glad of it. Losing the net, losing M-City, that would kill much of my work. Many of us share that concern, Dex said. It's more than just business, though. Yes, Magda agreed. For us, it is, anyway. Indeed, Dex said and finished his beer. I need to get back to the station, he said. Good luck, Magda said and stuck out her hand. They shook, and the woman held his grip a little longer than necessary. I'll be in touch. I look forward to it, Dex said, smiling. Good luck to you, too. 4 stops, 6 secret codes, and 18 trains later, Dex was curled up against the window on the overnight back to Nice. He'd offloaded all the upgrade rods he'd brought with him and eaten the last food brick in this pack. Tired of the flashing scenery, he'd dimmed the window by his seat and balled up his jacket to use as a pillow. His eyes closed, he pinged Annabelle, knowing she'd be home from work by now. "How's the delivery business?" she asked, and Dex could hear her grinning. "Tiring," he answered. "I'll tell you all about it tomorrow, after I've slept for a day in my own bed. You know, train seats really were not well designed for sleeping in, kiddo." "I'll take it up with management," she said, and they both laughed. "It feels like you've been gone forever," she said, the mirth gone. "Hard to believe it wasn't so long ago that I lived halfway around the world," Dex said. "It's amazing what a little time can do," Annabelle said, and Dex knew she was talking about herself. "You're what's amazing," he said. "Time is just the medium that shows it off." "You're babbling," she said, a false laugh hiding her modesty. "Sure," Dex said. "A babbling fool. That's what I am, kiddo. I'm a fool for you." "You need some sleep," she said. "I sure do," he agreed, "and I need to get home." "Home is where your bed is," she said. "No," Dex said. "Home is where you are, and I'll be there soon enough. I love you, Annabelle." "Ah, Dex," she said. "See you tomorrow, kiddo," he said and broke the connection. He managed to drift off to sleep, head mashed against the window, a smile on his face. You've been listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information about this and the other Anderson Dexter stories, please visit darusha.ca/dex. The theme music is First We Take Manhattan, performed by Donovan Alex and Yoko Rocks. More information at soundcloud.com/donovan-alex. Thanks for listening.